gift. To our text, the third midrash, chapter 2, verse 13 of Matthew. After the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there till the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Once again, to understand that passage, you've got to go to the text. Look at the text, which is this case of Hosea 11:1. But I won't do that straight away because I want to point out just a couple of small features in that passage. Joseph, firstly, here and in the last passage and all the way through, I remember reading once, I thought it was a lovely thing to say, and it may be even a nice male thing to say, and we men need all the encouragement we can get. Joseph never says a word. I remember reading once, the only word he ever spoke was the word made flesh. Like, Jesus is his word. The one he trained, the one he taught carpentry to, the one he read the Torah to, and all of that a father would have done. But he's a silent man. But in all the passages, he's beautifully obedient. You notice what he's told to do, he just does. Well, here it is again. He's told to do something, he does it straight away. It's a simple obedience without words. Something attractive about that in our world that's full of them. The other thing is to notice, down the bottom I've quoted from the book of Exodus, and I'll be doing it in each of the next three little scenes. Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. Moses fled from Pharaoh, Exodus 2:15. A theme that's coming through these. This is about the mission of Jesus. Jesus is being portrayed, painted, as the new Moses. Huh? And just as Moses led the people out of Egypt, so Jesus has to go to Egypt. Whether Jesus went to Egypt literally or not, I wouldn't have a clue, and neither would you, and the gospel doesn't give us any evidence on that, because it's not, you can't prove that it's biographical, and it's kind of irrelevant in whatever at that level, because Jesus did go to Egypt. Jesus went to Egypt when he embraced the leper. You following my thoughts? Jesus went to Egypt when he went out to the outsiders. Jesus went to Egypt whenever he stepped out of the comfortable whatever and went out to bring people out of Egypt to the promised land. That's the basic level at which we have to read it, whatever happened at the level of biographical detail. And I have no opinion on that, I don't know. So Herod is about to destroy the child the way Pharaoh was about to destroy Moses. The text now, which is the key, "Out of Egypt I've called my son," is one of the loveliest texts of the Old Testament. So if you're taking notes, don't forget to look it up. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. The beautiful plea from God. One of the most moving pleas from God to the people. And it begins with the words that we've just read. When Israel was a child, when Israel was beginning the nation, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. See the parallel? He is Jesus, the child, loved and also called out of Egypt. He's reliving Moses' story. He's the new Moses, the new leader, the new one who's going to take us to our promised land. And that's the powerful theology that's being presented. But let's go back to the text. When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt. But the more I called to them, the further they went from me. They offered sacrifice to the Baals. I myself, says God, I taught Ephraim, that's the northern kingdom where Hosea is speaking, I taught Ephraim to walk. I took him in my arms. Yet they haven't understood that I was the one looking after them. I led them with reins of kindness. All you mums and dads have got millions of memories flooding into your mind now. I led them with the reins of kindness, with leading strings of love. I was like someone who lifts an infant close against his cheek. Stooping down, I gave him his food. My people are diseased through their disloyalty. They call on Baal, but he doesn't cure them. And then the plea, Ephraim, how, because like mum or dad, the kids made a mess of everything, but you can't stop loving them. Ephraim, how could I part from you? Israel, how could I give you up? My heart recoils from it. My whole being trembles at the thought. I will not give rein to my fierce anger. I won't destroy Ephraim again, for I'm God, I'm not man. I'm the Holy One in your midst. I have no wish to destroy. That whole beautiful passage, familiar to Matthew's readings. So he only gives us line one, huh? And our problem is we only read line one. It's like hearing to be or not to be, that is the question, when you haven't read Hamlet. It doesn't mean a thing to anybody. But you read Hamlet and get stuck in where everything's rotten in the state of Denmark and struggle with whether you try to do something about it. Do you know, what I mean? Everyone's read Hamlet, thank God. So we know that. And we know the struggle in our own life, what to do. So it rings with meaning. Well, I called my son out of Egypt, rings with meaning. But only if you know Hosea. Because that's the language of the New Testament.